impresionó tanto cuando yo la vi en el visor. Y me impresiona tanto esa cosa que hay en el rostro de él, que es lo que se ve en la foto. Me impresiona tanto cuando lo veo en la cámara que te digo que lo que a mí nunca se me olvida es que instintivamente hice como una cosa así hacia atrás, ¿no? Me asustó, se te puede decir, un poco. Y al mismo tiempo asustarme, apreté el obturador.
La historia dispara cuando todo Santa Clara se despierta.
Alberto Korda, former fashion photographer, who became the revolution's most famous photographer, explains one photo taken among many in Havana in the early 1960s, during the funeral of victims of counter-revolutionary terrorism. This is the world's most famous snapshot. It's a portrait of Ernesto Guevara, known as Che, a doctor and revolutionary. He believed in revolution for the entire South American continent and began in the 1950s fighting with Castro against the dictator Batista. He was also convinced that change in a country or continent depended on the ability of each individual to change himself. Someone wrote that Che's revolution wasn't a chase and severe organized and bureaucratic like the Soviet's October Revolution. Instead, it seemed to promise the heat, love and joy of the Caribbean. Maybe this is also why at the end of the 1960s, Che became for the most avant-garde youth of Europe and then the world, a model, a passion, an inebriation, a hope for the old dream of changing the world and making human relations more just. In the United Kingdom, Germany, Greece, Spain, at universities in California, at the Sorbonne in Paris and Bolivia in Italy, he struck the spark of rebellion with the fire of his idealism fed by the Cuban Revolution. These youth marching with the image of Che as a flag are now in their 60s, and their dream has maybe faded. But for some time now, a new generation have been marching throughout the world, chanting for what many still consider Che's utopia. It is the 1950s, and Fidel Castro leads troops at a guerrilla pace, that of the slowest through the Sierra Maestra. Fresh from Argentina with a beret on his head and an anarchic spirit, Che Guevara was one of the 12 young men, the so-called apostles, who in 1957, led by Fidel Castro, sailed on the Granma from Mexico to stage an armed landing in Cuba and a base in the Sierra Maestra, the island's most impervious mountains, and begin a revolution. From his first headquarters in Sierra, a hot belt and stills, Fidel Castro launched a new guerrilla war against the dictatorship, but also for a new model of socialist society, to which Che Guevara contributed his transgressive spirit and coherence.
Tiene el leopardo un abrigo, que en su monte seco y pardo. Yo tengo más que el leopardo.
But Che's presence was almost certainly special, unique, a romantic hero who not only physically represented the revolution, but also an ideal and moral interpretation of revolution itself, including the ultimate sacrifice of a hero's death.
Well, let me tell you something. It was hard for me to accept Che's death. I often dreamed of him and told people about my dreams. I dreamed I was talking to him, that he was alive. It was something special. It's hard to accept the idea of his death. Why is it? I think it's due to the fact that his presence is permanently still everywhere, in everything. He died far away, many miles from our country. But I repeat, it was hard to adjust to the idea of Che's death. It wasn't the same with other comrades, even though we lost many comrades in this struggle and saw them die. I think the impression of Che's permanent presence is due to what he symbolized, to his character, his conduct, his principles. He had truly exceptional qualities. I knew him very well. From when I met him in Mexico to the moment when he left the country for the last time, I think with true sadness that with Che's death, we lost a great intelligence, a man who still had a lot to give to the theory and practice of building socialism.
Durante todos los meses, ya son 16 los meses que hemos estado en la Sierra Maestra, han venido periodistas de muchas partes del mundo y se han preocupado de la parte, digamos, anecdótica de esta guerra de guerrilla. Hoy aprovecho la oportunidad de la visita de un periodista cubano para dar al pueblo de Cuba el primer saludo que tengo oportunidad de dar. Un pueblo que he decidido defender conociendo solamente a través de la acción y del pensamiento de nuestro jefe Fidel Castro.
In the letter Che wrote to you before leaving, he seems almost bitter at not having recognized earlier your leadership qualities and to have let time pass before entirely recognizing those qualities. Why was that?
Well, first because Che was a very quiet man. He felt things, but didn't express what he felt. At a certain point, his poems emerged. Someone brought them out. By nature, he was skeptical regarding Latin America, Latin American politics. And maybe, he thought that a revolution would end like many others. But in reality, he never gave me any impression of distrust. Maybe a certain mistrust regarding the movement. He maybe assessed our movement as heterogeneous, composed of people from many walks of life. He already had a solid Marxist revolutionary background. He studied a lot, had a medical degree, did research. He was very rigorous in his study of Marxist issues, and in that he was rather skeptical. I think maybe he wrote those things about me from an excess of honesty. Because it's true, I had to coordinate many realities, foment unity, overcome comrades' reservations of each other. I had to be patient with all that. Che himself was very, very impulsive, very courageous, daring, and at times daredevil. On many occasions, he volunteered. On any mission, he was always the first to step forward. He volunteered for the toughest actions, proposed himself, and fought in them. He was maybe too generous and altruistic. This wasn't his country, but he joined us, offering his life daily for the revolution. Clearly, I used commanders according to their importance. When a commander acquired more merit and experience, I alternated new ones so they'd learn and grow. You can't constantly put a leader under dangerous pressure, and because sooner or later you risk losing them. We had to protect them a lot, reining their initiative, and I assumed the task of protecting them as much as possible and using them in the most important missions. I made a point of rotating this kind of responsibility among my men. I truly believe that without this policy, Che wouldn't have ended the war, precisely because of his qualities. He was a very honest man. If at any moment he had doubts, he felt obliged to say so. In any situation, it was just his nature.
The Cuban Revolution is incredible. It unites an intellectual like Che, an intellectual like you, and a simple man like Camilo. Different roots and cultural backgrounds, but the revolution unites them and makes them live happily together. There was clearly a shared faith.
Between three different people with distinct characteristics, the surprising thing was that Che wasn't Cuban, but Argentine. When I met him in Mexico, he'd been in Guatemala as a doctor, very enthusiastic about Guatemala's political process and its agrarian reform. He'd seen the North American political intervention and hated it. It was something inside him. He joined us immediately, as he said himself. He was one of us from our first talk. Sure, he was still thinking of an anti-imperialist national liberationist struggle and not a socialist revolution, which he saw as still far in the future. But he joined us unhesitatingly. Besides, Che was our doctor. No one had seen Che as a great soldier. He liked sports. He climbed Popocatapec almost every week, but never reached the top. But he tried every week. He was asthmatic, followed a special diet, yet made a heroic effort to climb it, though he never reached the top. He never stopped trying. That was another aspect of his character. He was our doctor despite these limitations. He was an intellectual, but no one imagined what a soldier he'd become. Camilo was a man of the people. No one saw his qualities at first. In the end, he was remarkable. This could have been the case with many others in our group of 82 men. Later, I realized that at least 40 could have become commanders.
How different was Camilo from Che?
They had different characters, though they loved and respected each other. Camilo was a playful person. He was always joking. He had a Cuban sense of humor. He laughed a lot, was very daring. He was very intelligent, less intellectual than Che, but an equally excellent commander. He never gave the enemy a chance. He was courageous, but less daredevil than Che. Che seemed to go out to meet death. Camilo dared death too, but not in a daredevil way. In this, they were very different.
Attention! Breaking news! Revolution's 8th column in major victory. 400 arms captured. 11 of the dictator's armored cars taken near Santa Clara. Led personally by Commander Ernesto Guevara, they take 11 of the dictator's tanks and also capture 300 soldiers with all their equipment, two carriages of explosives, and much military material, including many bazookas.
They loved each other. Another commander we haven't talked about enough is my brother Raul. He's capable, brilliant, and played a key role. Excellent leaders emerged from the surviving group, which is why I think that if more had survived the landing, our group would have had many great young men, at least 15, 20 young men capable of becoming able commanders. Because you need opportunities, responsibilities, in order to distinguish yourself.
Commander, 20 years ago, Che left Cuba and went to fight in Bolivia. Can you say where he went between leaving Havana and getting to Bolivia?
In reality, Che wanted to go to South America. It was an old idea of his, because when he joined us in Mexico, he put one condition. He said he wanted only one thing. The only thing I really want is that after the triumph of the revolution, I want to be able to go and fight in Argentina, his country. He asked not to be denied that chance, that he wouldn't be impeded for reasons of state. I gave him my word. The thing seemed remote at the time. No one knew if we'd win the war, nor who would survive. He stood little chance, given his impetuosity, but that's what he asked me. Occasionally, he'd remind me of it. Also in the Sierra, he'd talk to me about that idea and my promise. In that sense, he saw the future. Obviously, after our experience in the Sierra Maestra, his enthusiasm for the idea of taking the revolution to South America, to his country, increased greatly. He who'd known our exceptional experience, the way we rebuilt our army and returned to the struggle, developed a great faith in the possibility of a revolutionary movement in South America. By this I mean the southern part of the continent. I repeated often that this commitment of ours would be respected. He reminded me two or three times. After the victory of the revolution, there were many tasks to be done and all kinds of problems. Policy disputes, unifying forces, state problems, economic ones, etc. Che, our doctor, who no one imagined what a soldier he was, began to distinguish himself from the first battles and became a great military leader. Both he and Camilo had fulfilled very key roles in the invasion of the center of the island, in very difficult conditions. One could speak more of this, but not now. He had to tackle the problems of a victorious revolution in a state where nothing of the old remained, neither army nor the administration. Our revolutionary organization had the greatest weight, but others had the support of a large majority of the population. We used our prestige to unite them. I always fought against sectarianism. We lived that period under the eye of the revolutionary force. Camilo participated in this process, but then died prematurely in October. He died as a result of the problems created in Camagüey by Uber Matos. Later, Che was given the task of running the industry ministry. He worked very methodically. Subsequently, he held various posts. Every time we needed someone serious for an important task, Che declared himself available.
El trabajo voluntario es la expresión genuina de la actitud comunista ante el trabajo en una sociedad donde los medios fundamentales de producción son de propiedad social. Es el ejemplo de los hombres que aman la causa de los proletarios y que subordinan a esa causa sus momentos de recreo y de descanso para cumplir abnegadamente con las tareas de la revolución.
Alguna gente se muere para volver a nacer. Alguna gente se muere para volver a nacer. El que tenga alguna duda, que se lo pregunte al Che. Y el que tenga alguna duda, que se lo pregunte al Che. Nada más.